chapter 64, 65, and 66. For Jehovah's presence in action, chapter 64, verses 1 through 7 here. Now the prayer here begins in chapter 63, verse 15. And now he's going to continue through chapter 64, verse 1. He says, "All that you, God, would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountain might shake at your presence." If you remember, in Mount Sinai, when Moses and Joshua went to receive the Ten Commandments, the power of God on that mountain and the Shekinah glory and the fire over this mountain, it must have been something for Moses and the people of God standing back and watching this whole mountain on fire. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And this is when Isaiah now, not only in chapter 6, if you remember, when God came to him and he says that he was on clean lips as God was calling him, and the first thing that had to happen is purify his life so that God could use him. And many times in our own personal lives, if you want God to use your life, there has to be a cleansing of my life. Which means that we all sin, but at the same time, we all can repent of our sins. And if we truly repent of our sins, we're not to go back to those sins they already we have repented of. If you remember in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon 120 of them, the presence of God, and the 30 nations that were represented there on the day of Pentecost, and they all heard them speaking in their own dialect. And what were they doing? They heard him worshiping the Lord, praising God. Those group of people, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was one of them. That was the beginning of the church, the beginning of the power of God in the early church. In that chapter, by the end of the chapter, 3,000 people, the first altar call was 3,000 people. They got saved. And then it's all history. Think of what God has done in our personal lives today, as not only he's brought us and he saved us, and the way he wants to use our lives in a powerful way, that in a way, you know, we're in Mount Sinai in the presence of God, and that God spoke to Moses as God is speaking to us through his word. Because he gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And so when I look at the Word of God and I read the Scriptures, you know, I think of those things that God is in my own personal life, what he's doing in my life, and that I am in the presence of God like Mount Zion, but in the presence of his Holy Spirit and the way the Holy Spirit speaks fully and completely. In verse 2, as a fire burns brushwood, as a fire causes water to boil, to make your name known, your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Notice that. At your presence. So here he's again crying out for ourselves to cry out behind through prayer to God. I don't know how many of us spend a lot of time in prayer, but I've shared with you that you don't have to pray in a loud voice all day long. But getting up in the morning, spending time with God. And when you spend time with God, not only will he speak to you through the whole day, and then at your lunchtime, and then when you come home, and before you go to bed, spending the time reading a psalm or a proverb, whatever it is, if you're going through the Bible, and then going to bed with the Word of God in your mind, with the mind of Christ. So that when you get up in the morning, you can start with thanksgiving, that God gave you another day to live. How many people really thank God that they woke up that morning? When he holds your breath in his hand. Think about it. Every day at this particular moment, people are dying. In hospitals, in rest homes, some in their own homes, some in an accident. You never know when God is going to call you home. And if he's going to call us home one day, you want to be ready. You want to be prepared. You want to make sure that you have intimate fellowship with God. By reading, by praying, by fellowshipping with one another, coming and hearing the word of God, developing and maturing in God's holy word. So here in verse 2, you know, as we look at this, the people today have no fear of God. of his judgment that is coming. Think of the people today that not only don't have the fear of God, but the things that they do. The things that they do that are shocking. Homosexuality, lesbianism. I mean, all these sins that God speaks against, if people would come to repentance. He doesn't hate the people. He loves the people, but he wants them to come to repentance. And then God can forgive their sins just like any one of us here. No matter what we've done, God forgives us for our sins. We don't want the judgment of God. We want the grace of God. I want the peace of God in my life. Verse 3. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountain shook at your presence. Reference to Mount Sinai. Imagine when Moses came down. Remember, he came down with Joshua. He comes to the camp. And what does he hear? He hears partying going on. And he says, what is that noise that we hear? And when he comes to the camp, they're eating, they're drinking, and they're taking the women into their tents. And there's a wild thing going on, and Moses becomes angry, and he takes the Ten Commandments and he throws them to the ground and breaks them into little pieces. And then he goes to the people and says, whoever is not in God's sight, stand on one side, and the other ones that with God stand on this side, remember? And then God judged them. God judged them all. It's important that when we come into Mount Sinai, that we remember the presence of God. What God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do even in the future for each one of us individually. Verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who act for the one who waits for him. So to show yourself to men, he's talking about here, have not really seen the power of works in your life. People can misjudge you. But you know the things that you're doing for God, and you're not doing it for men, but you're doing it for him because you love him and because he loves you fully and completely. So here God is going to challenge their idols that they're worshiping. Verse 4, he says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. Notice what he's saying here. The power of God. He says, you meet him who rejoices, notice, in thus righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. People were not living right, but a life of sin, just like today. This is important. He says what? In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. Think of how many people within the church are living lives of sin, and you're saying in the back of your mind, he says, in these ways we continue and we need to be saved. To be saved is to have a real relationship with God. It means to repent of my sins, not to live in my sins, but to get rid of my sins. And to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and confess my sins and allow the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away every one of my sins, and that I can be right with God. And that God can not only speak to my heart, but that I'm able to speak to him through prayer. Very important for each one of us individually. Verse 6, but we are all like unclean things. Notice that. And all our righteousness is like filthy rags. Like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf. And your iniquities, your sins, like the wind, have taken us away. Sin takes you away from God. Notice that. This is so true. There are people today trying to relate to God in their own righteousness, just like Israel. You cannot relate to God in your own righteousness because your righteousness is as filthy rags. We have to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ as we come by faith to him in obedience to the word of God. And then he says, verse 7, and there's no one who calls on your name. Notice the prophet speaking to the nation in general here. Who stirs himself up to take a hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and hath consumed us because of our sins. Notice that the nation had turned against their God. Turned against their God. I wonder how many people within the churches have turned their backs against God. There are so many people today that have turned their backs against God, and they don't realize they're going to be judged one day. Verse 8, now the renewing cry here for mercy by the people. He says, but now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. All we are the work of your hand. Notice the prophet here is acknowledging that God is the one that takes the clay and he forms out of the clay whatever he wants to do with the clay. Imagine that. I mean, how many times can the clay say to the master, this is what I want you to make me like? You can't do that. God is the one that forms us. God is the one that empowers us with his Holy Spirit. God is the one that leads. God is the one that opens doors, the one that closes doors. And we have to be sensitive to him and the things that he wants to do in each one of our lives. So here in verse 8, there's a new argument here concerning the fresh appeal and plea to God. Verse 9, do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, for just we all are your people. The Lord here had promised to forgive their sins and to forget them just like us. I mean, each one of us individually has come to Christ. You know, you can think about your sins, but they're no longer there. They're gone. The devil comes along and is the accuser of the brethren. He always wants to make us and bring us back to our sins that we not only hated now and that we hate, but he wants to take you back so you can have condemnation and not have peace in Jesus Christ. And Paul says in Romans 8:1, therefore there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, who walk not after the flesh but after the Holy Spirit. No condemnation. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to be condemned. You have to walk in the Spirit. And then he goes on, verse 11. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our fathers praise you, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things laid waste. He's talking here about not only when the temple would be burned. Remember in 70 AD, Titus came, and they took the temple of God and brought it down. And then you think how today in the future, the Jews are going to rebuild the third temple. The temple, and who's going to go and sit after 3.5 years? The Antichrist. And he will proclaim himself to be God. And at that particular moment, the Jews are going to start fleeing to the city of Petra. And he will kill 2/3 of the Jews, and only 1/3 will get to Petra, the city of rock. And God will protect them for the last 3.5 years, which is going to be horrible in the world. Verse 12, he says, will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? Here in verse 12, the prayer now is closing. Two questions. The question number one, will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Second, will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? And then we see Jehovah's response now to the prayer here in verse 1 of chapter 65. He says this, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. Notice how cool that is. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am. I mean, how did you find the Lord? Were you really seeking him? I mean, did you really seek the Lord when you found him? I was sought by those who did not ask for me. Think how God came to you at the proper time. Notice when you weren't even seeking him, and then you came to seek his life. I mean, I remember I wasn't seeking the Lord. But when they started praying for me, all of a sudden, deep within my heart, everything that I did that was sin, I felt guilty. I didn't feel guilty before that. I enjoyed it. But there was somehow that I was feeling guilty. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit of God. And then like he says here, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I began to seek for God. And then I asked for God. And then God, I didn't find God, and then God found me, who did not seek me. And then he said, here I am, here I am. And then he says, to a nation that was not called by my name. And who is he talking about? He's talking not only about Israel, he's talking about the Gentiles. We. Israel already knew the call of God, but the Gentiles were rejected by the Jews, and because the Jews rejected God, God gave the gospel to who? To us, the Gentiles. We have received it. For the last 1900 years, we, the Gentiles, have the gospel of Jesus Christ. One day, when the church is taken to heaven, God's going to deal with Israel. And then in the kingdom age, God will be with Israel, and God will direct the path of Israel. Today, Israel still does not believe in God. And if they find out you're Jewish and you believe in Jesus, man, you're going to have a hard time. A very hard time. He says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. A people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick. Cultic worship. The worship of cultic things. Who sit among the graves. They go to the tombs and they would sit there in cultic practices called upon demons. We have that today. Consulting the dead. And then he says, spend the night in the tombs. Who eat swine, pig's flesh, and abominable things in their vessels. Who say, keep yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. Religious, arrogant people that God's going to judge. That God's going to judge. Self-righteous people. Thinking that they're better than other people. Thinking that they don't have to repent of their sins. They have forsaken the law of God. Verse 6, behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, I will repay, even repay in their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. So notice the nation here had turned to cultic practices and the worship of demons. Of demons. In the past, even to the present time. And now we're going to see salvation of that remnant that God loved because they love God. It says, I will bring forth descendants from Jacob. And it says, from Judah, and an heir of my mountain, my elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. So here now, God is speaking to the remnant. Those that truly worship God fully and completely. They're in a place where they're looking to God and say, God, here I am, I want to worship you. And then he says this verse 10, Sharon shall be a fold of flocks. And the value of acre, a place for hers to lie down, for my people have sought me. People who are seeking God, notice what he says here. Do you seek him? Do you come every morning and seek after him and his will? These people, before that, were not seeking. They were seeking demons. Seeking the cult. Those deities in the cult that not only do not help, but they oppress and depress and possess people's lives. But not with the Lord, verse 11. But you are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, notice, who prepare a table for God, and who furnish a drink offering from many, which means, again, the destiny, God of the destiny, that is God's worship. They worship him. And then he says in verse 12, therefore, because of this, I will number you for the sword. Judgment is going to come. He says, and this is so cool because he says, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I call, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear. But did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Think how scripture today fits perfectly. Look again. He said, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called you, you didn't answer. When I spoke, you did not hear. You know, chasing us or speaking to our hearts. But that evil before my eyes, you weren't even ashamed. You were bold to sin in front of my eyes. And you chose that in which I do not delight. I hate it, and yet you did it. Verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Here comes the blessings and the judgments of God. Behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed, the righteous and the unrighteous. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and nurse and wail for grief of spirit. You shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by another name, which is what? Christians. So that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. Isn't that cool? In the God of truth. What did Jesus say? I am the truth, the life. Notice, remember? And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my eyes. You know, one of the things that God spoke to me here is that when he takes your sins and my sins, he takes them and he throws them as far to the east of the west. And then he says this, and he buries them in the deepest part of the ocean, and he remembers them no more. Then why do we remember them when he does not remember them? We need to come to that place in our lives that we believe the word of God. Don't let Satan, don't let people condemn you. Make sure you understand before God's word that he said you're no longer guilty, you're forgiven. You got to keep your eyes on the cross of Jesus Christ, never looking back, but always looking forward. Never standing still, but always moving. Very important in the kingdom of God. Verse 17 now, the new heavens and the new earth now. He says, for behold, I create the new heavens and the new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Can you imagine all this that we see today, one day, it's going to be gone. Gone completely. God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Read the book of Revelations. And he says, the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. It's going to be done with. It's already done. All the troubles, all sin, all those things, you know, are going to be gone. And then he says this, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, God Creator. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing. Notice that. Israel to be glad, rejoicing because of the present Jerusalem, they will be restored. He says, and her people a joy. Notice, will rejoice in Jerusalem with his people. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Isn't that cool? This is the perfect will of God that he's talking about here. He's talking about the kingdom age. We're going to rejoice in Jerusalem with his people. Remember, when we go at the rapture of the church, we're taken up. 7 years we come back, second coming of Christ, then we have 45-day judgment, Satan in the bottom of the pit, and then we go into the kingdom age with our new heavenly bodies. The people that come out of the tribulation period, kids, mother, and fathers, they're going to go into the kingdom because they never took the mark of the beast. They're going to go into the kingdom. They were never killed, beheaded, so they go into the kingdom because they probably came to Christ in the 7 years. And those people are going to be given the opportunity, you'll see in a moment, to repopulate the earth. And they'll be babies, infants. They will die at 100 years old. 100 years old. And I don't understand this. That at the end of the 1,000 years, as Satan has been put away for 1,000 years, that God is going to open the lock. He's going to let them out one more time. And he's going to go out to the world and he's going to deceive hundreds and millions of people after having Christ in this earth. The wickedness of the heart of man. Think about that. the wickedness of men's hearts. So important that when we look at the Word of God, we understand that this is God's Word, the way He speaks to each one of us individually. Here it is, watch verse 20. No more shall any infant from there live but a few days. See, kids live a little few days now. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, 80 years, 90, 100 years. For the child shall die at 100 years old. 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Notice that. Shall be accursed. They will be in the kingdom aged people. They will turn against Christ. They will sin. They shall build houses, inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. So this isn't the kingdom age. Notice what he's talking about here. They shall not build, another inhabit. They shall not plant, another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people and my elect shall long endure the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. Notice, they're going to work and it's not worthless or meaningless. Nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be descendants of the blessed of the Lord and their offerings, notice, with them. It's going to be so awesome to be in the kingdom age. Can you imagine each one of us individually being in the presence of God forever and ever and ever and ever? No more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. We shall be like Him. You know, when Chuck died and when my father died, you know, and I read the book of Revelation, I told you this before, I don't understand heaven. I'm sorry. I read it, but I don't understand it. It is so cool because one day when we die, we're going to enter into that dimension, the spiritual dimension. And I think when we get there, we're going to go, wow. Man, I never thought, you know, that this would be heaven. Heaven is going to be so incredible for each one of us individually. And I love this. We shall be known even as He is known. We're going to have new names. I won't say, hey, Chuck, how are you? No, it's not going to be Chuck anymore. All new names. Verse 24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I, God, will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Notice here the relationship with God, very close at that time. We notice here the response of their prayers not only are answered. He says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. I mean, put a wolf with the lamb today. He goes, yum, yum, you know. But think of the kingdom age. The lion, the kids will be playing with lions. I mean, it's incredible. The lion shall eat straw like an ox, no more meat. Like an ox. And thus shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? I mean, I read it. And I can't really understand it, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, because right now we live in a world full of sin. Imagine each one of us individually being there. No more night, no more sun, but Jesus will be the light forever and ever and ever and ever. That's why I tell people, men, come to Jesus. Don't die without Jesus. We're only one breath away from eternity. We've talked about this before. One breath. And when I see people dying, it breaks my heart, especially if they don't know Christ. Because in their hearts, in their minds, not only have they rejected God, but now God rejects them. God loved them, and now God rejects them because they rejected Him. God is there until you take your last breath to give you the opportunity. But once you take your last breath, it's over. It's over. You go to heaven or you go to hell. Can you imagine what it was like for Lazarus and the rich man? I read that story all the time just to remind myself of all the people that I have known that maybe have gone to hell. And to remind me, to exert my own life, that I surely would not want to be in hell. to be able to remember everything, all five senses in hell forever and ever, and then cast into the lake of fire with Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and every demon, and death and hell in the lake of fire. Surely you do not want to go there. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your children. Pray for your friends. That God will touch their lives. Otherwise, you will never see them again. And how sad it is where a father or a mother are separated from their children go to heaven, the parents don't, or the parents go to heaven and the children don't. How sad that is, but it happens every single day. And then he starts chapter 66, your Jehovah's judgment in Zion's rejoicing. He says, thus saith the Lord. So when we hear thus saith the Lord, what is he saying? This is the Lord speaking, you better listen up. And here he's going to give us a reference to Matthew 5:24 because Jehovah's greatness here and the abominations of idolatry, he's going to speak in the first six verses. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest, God says. For all those things my hand has made. He says, you're going to make me something. I created everything. What can you make me? What can you make for God? And all those things exist, saith the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Notice that. God says, those are the people that I'm looking to. Those that have a contrite heart, those that have humbled themselves before the Lord. A poor in spirit, contrite spirit. He says, he who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers grain offering as if he offers pig's blood. He who burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their own soul's delight in their abominations. That sounds like today. People doing their own things, worshiping, you know, gods that are not really gods. Instead of worshiping God, they have a hatefulness for God. They hate God. And yet they're insulting God. And God kicks back and looks at these people and waits upon them to repent if they repent. And if they do not repent, it's so sad because I've seen so many people go into eternity without God. And you see the family, man, crying and weeping. But how glorious it is when you're in a home or a hospital, like when my mother-in-law passed away, to be able to rejoice because we know where she went. And we know that she had peace when she died. And the same way with my father-in-law, the same way with my dad. Imagine the people of God here as Isaiah is speaking to them. Many of them didn't want to come to know God, but there was a remnant of people that would come. And then he says this, verse 4, so will I choose their delusion and bring their fears on them, because when I call, no one answered. When I spoke, they didn't hear. He says, and they did evil before my eyes. And chose that in which I do not delight. Hey, they did it willfully, willingly, and they were not ashamed, and they didn't even care if I watched what they were doing. They ignore God fully, completely. And then he says, hear the word of the Lord. Notice what he says here. You who tremble at his word, your brother who hate you, who cast you out of my, for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, says, that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. Notice they were mocking here because they were obeying God's word. They were mocking it. Is somebody mocking you in your family because you obey God's word? Or maybe some of your friends that actually mock you because you become a Jesus freak? He says, the son of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. And then look at the blessing here, the new Zion. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Notice this had been the experience since the judgment given to the nation of Israel. He says, before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Remember in the Old Testament, Genesis 3:15, the prophecy of Jesus? And this will be a male child in the millennium kingdom, that the curse will be lifted up. It will be removed from the earth. He says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or a nation be born at once? Here the nation of Israel coming back to Israel. That's a reference for them coming back to Israel. He says, for as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. In 1948, May 14, what happened? Israel came back to the land. Came back to the land and they took possession. They've been there now over 60 years and they're never going to leave the land. Never, ever, ever. God will fight for them. Verse 9, he says, shall I bring to the time of birth? Notice God here giving life. And not cause delivery, saith the Lord. Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, saith your God? But to restore the nation of Israel, he's speaking here about restoring Israel. God hasn't forgotten Israel. God is going to restore Israel, saith the Lord, he says. Verse 10, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all of you who mourn for her. See, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Then he says, verse 11, that you may feed and be satisfied. Notice Jerusalem is again a picture as a mother here. With the consolation of her bosom. That you may drink deeply and be delighted, Jerusalem. With the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Notice that peace here includes health, prosperity, and well-being. And the glory of the Gentiles, here we go, the Gentiles like a flowing stream, that's us. Then you shall feed, on her side shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, notice this, so will I comfort you. And you shall, notice, be comforted in Jerusalem. Look at the comfort that God brings to our lives when you ask him. You may be going through something tonight and God says, I'm going to bring my comfort to you. And he comforts you because he knows that you're going through this because he has something for you. But he loves you and he's not going to let you fall. He will take you to the fire. Verse 14, when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass in the kingdom age. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. What's that reference to? The great tribulation. God's going to pour out his indignation upon 7 years upon a world that has hated God. Verse 15 again. For behold, the Lord will come with fire. Notice that. And with a chariot like a whirlwind, to render anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. The last 7 years of tribulation period is going to be horrible, especially the last 3.5 years. It is going to be horrible. Horrible. Like the world has never, ever seen before. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. The judgment in the tribulation period at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination of the mouse. They were eating mice. Imagine that. Shall consume together. How sick that is. Here these people had become so filthy, dirty against the things of God. And they came to a place where they were so low, they were even eating mice. Saith the Lord, he says, verse 18. For I know their works, their thoughts. God knows our works and God knows our thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations in tongues. And they shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them. Notice that. And what sign did he give to us? The sign of the cross. When Christ came and he died on the cross. And those among them who escape, I will send to the nations to tarnish, which they believe that's Spain. He says, Pul and Lut, who draw the bow, and Tubal and Javan, and the coast of Sapphira, who have not heard my fame, nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory. Notice, among who? The Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord. Out of all nations and horses in the chariots and in litters and mules and the camels to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. It's going to be so beautiful when we see this here. And I will also take some of them for priests. Speaking of the Gentiles, you guys, that's us. I will take also some of the Gentiles for priests and Levites, saith the Lord. Remember what Jesus said in the book of Revelation? We are kings and priests when we get there. He says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, he says, which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your descendants, notice, and your name remain, the eternal blessing in our lives to be with Christ. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Isn't that incredible? In the new heavens and the new earth, we're all going to worship God. Somebody asked me the other day, is that all we're going to do, worship God? Well, what's wrong with that? Worshiping the Lord better than anything else. The only thing I hate, there's no more surfing. I hate it. No more oceans. Verse 24. And they shall go forth and look. Notice that. He says, upon the corpse of men. Remember, he says that outside are what? Those that were filthy, homosexuals, lesbians, fornicators, adulterers. They were outside of the place where they could actually not only see, but they were never coming to the kingdom of God. And then he says this, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpse of the men who have transgressed against me. Notice that. For their worm does not die. Remember Jesus said that? For where the worm doesn't die. Which means forever and ever and ever they're going to be tormented. Forever and ever and ever. We find this in Matthew 3:12 and Revelation 20 verse 10 and 15. Where the worm never dies. It's not quenched. And this shall be abhorrence to all flesh. You see that word fire? That's Gehenna. Gehenna, the lake of fire. In Revelations 20, 11 through 15, remember the books are open, and whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Aren't you glad that we're not going to be there? But we're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ. I love it. Father, thank you so much for this book, Lord. Father, I pray for your wonderful people, Jesus. Lord, that you would touch them, that you would anoint them, God. That you would bring them, Father, to that place where we fully, fully trust in you, Lord God, and in your love, in your grace, in your mercies. Lord, I pray for your people here, Jesus. For the teachers, for the pastors, for the helpers, for Calvary Chapel, Lord. Lord, we want to worship you, Lord. We want to enter into your presence, Jesus, because we glorify you, Lord. Father, tonight, Lord God, heal people. Speak to our hearts, Jesus. Lord, no matter what our need may be, Lord God, according to your perfect will, Jesus, touch us. Lord, touch us fully and completely, Lord. So, Lord, that when we leave here tonight, it will be different. That every time we come into your house, Lord God, that we would leave different from here, Jesus. Jesus, we love you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus.